my friends, and welcome to the Art Girl on Fire podcast. I'm Amanda. I'm on a journey of healing, and I'm bringing you with me. Now, first things first, I am not a guru. I'm just a woman learning new things and sharing stories from other folks who are doing the same. I'll be sitting down to talk with other artists and creatives who are also on this path to being better humans. We'll talk about art, creating, having a spiritual practice. We'll have some amazing conversations as we all get together and share our stories. There will be episodes where it'll just be little old me. I'll share some practical tools for healing and personal growth. I'll tell you my story, the beautiful as well as the ugly parts, and I hope that you're encouraged on your own path to healing. It's my sincere belief that the more of us who make the choice to heal individually, the better off the whole world will be collectively. So sit down, get comfy, and let's get down to it. Okay, so hello everyone and welcome. Today I'm sitting down with one of my favorite people, Kimmy Strain. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Again, my name is Kimmy. I live here in Knoxville. I own a salon here in town called Oddities Hair Parlor. So I am a full-time hairstylist, but I'm also an artist in many different mediums and, just community-minded things and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long have you been doing hair?
I got licensed in 2008, so it's been a little minute.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What brought you to that place? Like, what were you doing before that, and what made you decide that hair was the career for you?
Sure. So, back when I was younger, still in high school, I taught my mom into, selling Mary Kay so that I could get that little pink kit with all the trials of every color, right?
Oh yes, I remember the little tiny lipsticks.
Yes. So it had every color of foundation, and they weren't super inclusive back then, but as good as we could be. I would take that and do weddings.
Okay.
Obviously, looking back, people were a little Oompa Loompa looking because I wasn't that great, and we didn't have YouTube and all these things to show us how to do things properly. But anyways, I've always had a love for hair, makeup, and wanted to do that, but I went into the military at a very young age, just after I turned 16, I shipped off into the Army, Army Basic. So when I got out of that, I went right into corrections, because it was an easy segue, so I did that for 6 years. But I always liked the creative side of hair, it was always in the background. But then I did 6 years and then in corrections and was I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. So a hair school had recently opened up in our town, a salon professional academy. My neighbor was really interested in going, so we were getting our nails done and we're like, hey, let's just pop in here and see what's up. So I did, and we both walked out, signed up, and she quit a month later, and I've been doing hair for 12 years now. So
that's awesome. I went to a salon professional academy.
Did you?
Too.
Yeah. Yep. So good. I mean, it is really good because, we paid a lot more for it.
Yeah.
But I did learn, we did learn a lot more of the business aspect of it, and
yes.
I think that has really helped me. It really did set me up for success owning my own salon and stuff.
I think so too. They call it T-Spa down there in Alabama,
sure, yeah,
but
yeah.
They really, really focused on consultation, the
yeah.
art of consultation, ask as many questions
yeah.
as you need to make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel just even that one nugget alone has helped me so much,
yeah.
Not to make rookie mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we need technical schools, mm-hmm. and they're perfectly fine. We would have been just as good a stylist had we gone there. But I think that, you said, that little extra nugget has definitely been beneficial.
Mm-hmm. So one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you, two reasons. One, because I just love you to death.
I love you too.
I do. And but being a hairstylist, like we do, but also being artists as well. I think hairstyling is an art form.
Absolutely.
I know some people just work it as a job and that's fine and they still do great hair. But
yeah.
I think for us, it goes a little bit deeper. And then also you add to that our spiritual practice.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
I don't know, just meeting you has been so great because we have these common threads and it's like, oh, we're not the only ones. We're not the only weirdos up in this place. And, but I think that hairstylists who do make art outside of the salon and hairstylists who do healing work, I think it's just a blessing to be able to work in this capacity, you know? And I think you feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
like your shop here, I mean, you walk in and you just feel just like not just comfortable, but just safe. It's peaceful in here. It feels just loving and inclusive. And can you tell me a little bit about that? Like what drove you to make this kind of space?
Sure, yeah. You know, it was a lot of different things. I think visions grow as you do.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first owned a salon, like I wanted it to be like eco-friendly. I wasn't really like, as far as like being inclusive, like I didn't fully understand a lot of that, you know? So I was in my head as I was being inclusive, but I think now like there's so many more layers to it. I didn't want a salon that was like super loud.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to have people who maybe have sensory issues or anxiety or, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. to be able to come in here and not feel overwhelmed or forced to talk or have to listen to gossip or have to listen to like things that could be potentially triggering because you know how it is. Like people sit in your chair and like you're an instant therapist. And so if you're in a salon with 20 other people and like the person next to you starts talking about something that could be potentially, mm-hmm. you know, very triggering for somebody, I feel like absolutely please talk about this. But, you know, having a smaller space that you can control a little bit more of that, you don't have those issues.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we were really able to create a space that doesn't have a lot of smells. Like we use like as little chemicals as we can, all our products, same thing. So there's just a lot of layers to that. And especially for the queer community, we really wanted to make a space like, cause there's not a lot of that. Like a lot of people say they're inclusive and like gender-free haircuts. And that is literally like gender-free haircuts is
literally the tip of the iceberg.
It should be the norm at this point. Like
yeah.
that's like your basic, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, like everybody should be gender-free, you know?
Yeah, so. But there's a lot of, I've worked with some, non-conforming folks that, I mean, they have so much anxiety just asking for the hair that they want that
sure.
will affirm their
yeah.
gender identity. And knowing that there's a place where they can just walk right in here and they know they're going to be taken
yeah.
care of and it's not going to be scary and they're not going to be judged by the other clients or the other stylist.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the South. I mean, we still have a long way to go. Like,
yeah.
I'm not of the camp that like the whole South is garbage. Like there are a lot of us down here
yes.
that are doing some work, but you know, it's still the South and we have a long way to go.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
so like places like this are so, so important. Like I feel like it's not just a salon, but more of like a community space that you've created.
Yep. And that's what I wanted, a community hub. Like
mm-hmm.
I wanted it to get back to like what hairdressing used to be
mm-hmm.
as far as salons, you know, like you were like the community hub. Like if anybody needed things, they're coming to you. Like
mm-hmm.
do you know somebody who fixes roofs? Do you know somebody who might need extra cash? Like all these different things, you know. And I know we've talked about this before, but like there was a time when barbers were extracting teeth,
yeah.
doing stitches. Like we have always been like the community hub. So like I really wanted to like bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
So partnering with a lot of different community organizations such as like Mountain Access Brigade and like Autonomous Pelvic Care, who provide us with all kind of like free condoms and
mm-hmm.
you know all these different kind of things just to help people stay a little more safe out
yeah.
there, you know. So, and that's just like a couple things that we work with, but there are a lot of community organizations out here that salons could easily like pair up with and
mm-hmm.
be doing, you know, more community work.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And you'll also put on vendor markets
mm-hmm.
regularly, which is also awesome, you know, promoting
yeah.
other artists and makers. And
because there's not a lot of space for that here either.
No.
And don't get me wrong, there is. There's a lot of art, a lot of circles in Knoxville.
But there's certain circles.
Yeah, but I felt like there was really, like, a lack of space for, like, maybe, like, your quote unquote alternative person. So yeah, that was basically why we started that, just to create a space that, you know, you didn't have to pay $400 and hope that you made your money back. Like, it's $10. Yeah. You know what I mean? So those have been very good, not for the community, just for the community, but like even to help us curate our clientele here, you know, because we're very specific. Yeah. So like, I feel like we're pretty, especially on social media, I try to be like as like transparent as possible. That way, like, nobody has to question like what kind of salon that we are.
Yeah.
So that kind of deters people who maybe not align or be like-minded, be like, they'll be like, no, I probably won't go there.
Right.
So yeah. So.
Right. No, I think you've gotten really, really good at just creating the space that you want this to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome, you know, because it's like a healing house, you know?
And that's exactly what we wanted. Yes.
Yeah. So. No, I love that. Now, apart from doing hair, you're also an artist. So can you tell me, like, I know you do collage work. We both work in collage heavy, but we both do a lot of things. We were just discussing that before we start recording. Like, anything that we can do, we're going to do it.
Yes, anything I can get my hands on, I'm going to do it. But, yeah, like I said, I work in, like, mixed media. I really love taking, like, trash and making it into a treasure of some sort. I also make jewelry, photography. There's just anything I can, like, dabble in, I'm going to try it. But I'm really, really drawn to, like, art and nature, empowering art, you know, especially in my photography. It's all about, like, body neutrality. Forget body positivity, because that's a bunch of garbs. But
I agree.
It's so toxic. We're, you know, inclusive, all bodies, all humans. Let's just get out here in the woods and, like, get some photos that are gonna make you feel really good about yourself. You know, and I really wanted it to be not a lot of touch-ups, not a lot of, you know, because we really need to start getting back to, like, hey, like, your body is your body. It's a meat suit. Like, there's gonna be days when you're gonna love it, and there's gonna be days when you're gonna hate it, because it's not perfect, is it? So that's really, that's the work that my photography has been drawn to. But also, like, making, like, jewelry out of nature and making talismans and, like, little empowering things from nature that you can, like, take with you. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing recently.
Yeah. And what do you call your photography and your handmade stuff? I'm going to link all this in the show notes for
Thank
folks
you so, much.
So they can find you.
So my photography is called Feral Heart Photos, and that's on Instagram. And then my jewelry and my art is handmaged, and that's also
okay.
And on Etsy and on Instagram.
Awesome. So speaking on spiritual things, like, we talk about this a lot. We've both kind of evolved in a lot of different ways, and I think that as spiritual people, and it bleeds over into the work that we do, and pertaining to your artwork, I guess, and hair, really everything. Like, when you're a spiritual person, it kind of envelops everything. It touches everything that you do.
Spills right over.
Yeah. Do you feel like when you're creating, like, when you're making art, that you're, that, like, that in and of itself is a spiritual practice?
Absolutely. Like, the collage work, I literally just one day was like, I'm just going to sit down and throw a few magazines in front of me, start ripping stuff out, and just, like, because I'd seen somewhere, like, where, like, people had, like, an intuitive party where everybody just sat down and was like, okay, like, make art. And then, like, somebody, like, literally interpreted, like, everybody's art in a specific way, if that makes sense.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so, like, it was just like, hey, just, like, make, it's like reading tea leaves. But I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So I'm just going to sit down and, like, and I just fell in love. And then, you know, I felt like it was almost like filling a void, if that makes sense, and also, like, spilling out some, like, intention, and, like, you know, it was just very interesting because I'd never done it before, and I was like, okay, now I want to do, and I want to throw everything into this, and, like, I even use, like, my incense ash to, like, smudge, you know, like, to add depth into my art, and, like, I don't know, I just feel like the spiritual side of me is, like, more fulfilled now, if that makes sense.
It does. I feel exactly the same. Like, collage and mixed media, like, I dabbled in it a little bit, but the past couple years, I've been doing it a lot, like, a lot. And sometimes I'll just be going, and it just feels so good just to, like, dump it all out. And I don't even know while I'm working what exactly is going on, but the medicine, like, shows itself at the end. Like, I'll look down and just, like, oh, man. And, you know, like, a couple weeks ago, I made this piece, and it was like, mountains, and this little girl kind of, like, in a flying posture, you know? Yes. And I got done, and it was like my inner child was just like, oh, yes, you know, like, so excited. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, I needed to make that.
And you just didn't know beforehand.
No, I was just, you know, amazing. I'm big on balance and, I don't know, just the design aspect of it, you know? And so my eyeballs and just the, you know, and like from doing hair, like balance, symmetry, all this stuff. But then when you're finished and your heart looks at it, like you're right. It's like tea leaves or something. It points to things.
That like, there's always like a hidden theme.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and the ones that I've made that just really don't resonate or hit are the ones that I'm just like, well, I need to do some work today. You know, just not really real intentional about it. And they're still okay. But, you know, there's the ones that you step back and you're like, oh, man. Yeah. Like, okay.
That was a little therapy that I didn't know was going
to
happen today.
Exactly. Like, okay, I need to sit down. I need some spirit time because I'm reeling right now.
Well, I think it's also, like, a good outlet for, like, some political, unrest or just a way to, like, maybe get some things out that you're feeling that, like, maybe you couldn't post on social media, you know? Like, protesting art or whatever you want to say, you know? So it's... It was really good to be able to, like, get some of those things out through art versus, like, maybe, like, you know, killing somebody.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. Much better alternative. So I think, like,
I think for me, too, collage has helped. You know, since I was young, I've painted. And I avoided sketching and drawing pencil and pen because I wasn't very good at it. And so a few years ago, I started a sketchbook practice, and, like, it really, really, like, I would suggest that to anyone, but I still am not, like, cream of the crop when it comes to just sitting down to draw.
Sure.
But collage, I feel like, is something that is accessible for a lot of people. Like, even if you can't draw a stick figure, you can cut out shapes.
I can't draw anything, and that's how I started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And now it's gotten to where I can take some of my collage pieces and kind of look at it and turn that into a painting. Like, if I want to make a larger piece with the same kind of idea, I can turn it, I don't know, it's kind of starting to evolve as part of my art practice. And I just think it's really cool. I get excited about
it. It's super cool, you should get excited about it, you know? I think it would be really awesome to do, like, a collaborative piece with, like, several different artists, like, you know, like, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but, like, Sisterhood or Artisthood of the Traveling Canvas.
That would be
amazing. You know, just to see, like, everybody's take on it and how it evolves and all that. So that would be, like, a really cool future thing.
Would it be like writing a story together?
Yeah.
You know, visually. I wanted to ask you about... and you don't have to talk about anything that you're not comfortable with, but your spiritual practice, I know your upbringing was kind of similar to mine, very, like, evangelical, what did they call it? Spirit-filled churches, charismatic kind of thing.
Charismatic,
maybe.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, where that started, like, how you were raised and how you've evolved to what you practice now. I know we've both kind of... eschewed labels with that thing, but, you know, I don't know, just kind of share that a little bit.
So I was raised very evangelical, you know, Church of God, you know, such and such. My grandmother was a minister, so we would go to a lot of revivals, had a lot of hands laid on me, you know. I was also, like, a ADHD kid, so, like, that was also, you know, that was a big thing that got prayed for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a problem to be solved, right?
Yeah, let's kill all the magic. But, you know, I will say, like, as judgy and as, like, hypocritical as, like, you know, a Christian upbringing can be, there was a lot of love instilled, like, to other people, like, you know, we were never taught to like be horrible to anybody. Like
same.
We were very much like you love everybody.
Yeah.
If somebody needs something, like you do whatever you can to like to help that person. And I'm very thankful for that because it has, you know, the empathy that it's instilled was really good because that's what Christianity is actually about.
Exactly. You know? I feel like that's the seed of it.
That's the seed of it, absolutely.
Jesus love right there.
You know, and I'm one of a million kids that could say this, but like there were times like the only love I really felt like I received was that when I was coming to church.
Yeah.
Outside of like, you know, that core unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes not.
Yeah.
You know? But also like, you know, that was sometimes that's the only time you ate.
Yeah.
Is like going to church. Like so like I have such a love for like specific things about of the church, you know, but obviously, from a young age, like those scales had to be shed.
Yeah.
You know, that hardened shell mm-hmm. that we end up being encased in, like they had to start shedding off, or like spiritually I was going to like die. You know,
I feel that for sure.
I think kids like us are very, you know, that it is very much pushed out of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as I got older, you know, going into the military and going into corrections, like I said earlier, like it was just like a fast track to be like a blind sheep.
I mean,
I hate to like, because there are plenty of good people that work in corrections, work in law enforcement, work in those fields, but it's just very detrimental, especially mm-hmm. if you have any kind of empathy.
If you're tender-hearted, it can be a very hard.
Yeah, and it just so I it was a real metamorphosis, really. Having my daughter, I had a daughter at 21, who is now 21. That really changed a lot of things to you. Once I got a little older, I started realizing that maybe this Christianity thing wasn't the route that I wanted to take the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I definitely didn't want to instill these like crazy things into my daughter's head or into her life beliefs, you know. So I think that was the real shift. And believe it or not, and I Harry Potter, like really, my pastor was like, if you were any kind of parent, you would not let your kid watch Harry Potter. Like, this is of the devil and blah, 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 blah. So I remember, like, Harry Potter came on TV, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, that's not horrible at all. That's literally, like, every Disney movie I've ever watched.
It is.
And it literally, like, even though I was already questioning things, it literally was like, well, crap, if they're wrong about that, like, we're wrong about a lot of things. And it just was, like, a snowball effect. And, you know, having people in my life, like, I have a really good friend named Amy, who kindly would check me because mm-hmm. I would say pretty ignorant things sometimes, you know,
yeah.
Like people who are atheists aren't going to go to heaven because that's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter if they're a good person. Like, I don't want that for them. Like I, but that's just, and so she would kindly question me and kindly educate me and really got my brain thinking about the bigger picture, if that makes sense.
It really does. Like when you start to ask questions, did you also find, though, like when you did start to ask these questions, you had to wrestle with a little bit of fear just from the way, I mean, everything is, it's either eternal love and everything is beautiful or like you're going straight to hell. Like there's no in between.
No.
And I had to really decide, like, no, it's okay to ask. Like, yeah. If God is as big as everyone says it is,
yeah.
And if love is the key, then how could asking be wrong? Like, I just want to know God better. So yeah. I have to ask, like,
sure.
You know, but just like you, like you come up against these things and you've believed it your whole life. And then you're like, no, wait, but why? Why? Yeah. Wait, what's the reasoning
yeah.
with that? You know? And I think it's so important just to ask, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I don't know. I feel like it gave us a good basis to love people.
Definitely.
You know, so I am thankful for it, you know, and we've talked about this before, just whatever energy it is,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to call it, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've spoken tongues. I've had that presence. I've felt that presence on hundreds of occasions. So I can't say, hey, that's not real.
Yeah.
Like we're tapping into something.
Yeah.
You know, now, like I have a whole another view of like what that energy is. It's, you know, and I think it's okay at this point for us to cherry pick, you know, the good things about all religions and all beliefs, you know, because that's, we're adults now and we get to make choices for our
yeah.
own mind and our own our lives, you know, and there are really great things about all of it, you know, as long as you just brush the rest of that grossness away, you
right,
know, and get
right.
back to like what the core of it is.
Do you feel like also just the fact that we're women, that like coming out of that patriarchal, like evangelicalism is really, really important?
Yeah. Learning how to shed the guilt.
Yeah, the guilt over everything. Everything.
Yeah. It was a morning, like I had a mourning period.
Me too.
Like it makes me emotional thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you blindly believe and like you hardcore believe.
Sincerely.
From the time that you're.
With every fiber.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to let that go and to be like, you know, I've been wrong this whole time. Like I've been like, honestly, I felt duped. You know, I was like, wow. And so many little seeds along the way had been planted about mm-hmm. how, like, this isn't really, like, what it's cracked up to be or what it's presented, you know? But, yeah, I feel like I went through, like, a hardcore mourning period where, like, I cried and I mourned and I grieved mm-hmm. for this relationship that I had,
yeah.
if that makes sense.
You
know?
It does.
And I really, like, you always see, like, it never, the whatever doesn't swing in the middle. It's either, like, one end to the other. So then I was, like, hardcore, like, anti.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be friends with any Christians. Don't look at me. Don't breathe by me. Like, I was really angry for being lied to my whole life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like I'm back in the middle and I'm like, okay, you know, and we've talked about this, like, Jesus was my first friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That presence was, like, my first love,
yeah.
you know, and I don't mean in like a weird whatever. I mean, like, that was the first time like I felt actually loved as
yeah.
like
and
the
accepted.
Little being that I was,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So Christ is great,
yeah.
right?
It's the people that muck up what he
yes,
came to teach
absolutely.
That mess it all up. I feel like, you know, I remember, you know, raised in church. We were kind of in and out a little bit because we moved so much, but, you know, in my late teens and into my 20s, I was like, I mean, so hardcore at church every time the doors open. My first husband, we met at church. Very chauvinistic relationship, that one was. And when we got divorced, I remember I lost a lot of my Christian girlfriends
sure.
because they were like, you know, it doesn't matter how bad your husband is to you, like, you wait until he comes around, like, you better not start seeing people, or you know, it was just this
yeah.
it was terrible. But I remember calling one of my old pastors. He was the college pastor when we had first kind of met each other, my husband and I, and we'd stayed in touch, and he was one of those men that, like, his heart was so good and he just loved the Lord, you know. He wasn't one of those scary, like, pastor dudes, you know. And I called him just a mess. I'm like, oh, Pastor Danny, like, I've tried for 7 years to be a good Christian wife.
Yeah.
And this is ending. Like, am I going to go to hell now? Like, I have a baby, this, you know. And he was like, no, you're not. He said, you just hang on to Jesus. You're going to be fine. Like, whatever your husband decides, that's between him and God. Like, you move forward. You take care of that baby. You're okay. And I mean, that phone call, it was maybe 20 minutes of talking, but that helped me heal so much. Like, and that was the start of me, like, releasing that fear of,
yeah.
you know, I was like, oh, shit, I failed. Like, I'm going to hell because my
yes.
marriage didn't work. Like, how crappy is
yeah.
that mindset? With, like,
or even like, having kids, like, your only job as a parent is,
yeah.
like, securing your kid's salvation.
Yeah.
So, like,
oh,
that's
shit.
No pressure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that, you know, we came around before our kids were too...
Me too.
Too much older, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still, like, if the roads are empty mm-hmm. or like, I come home and the house is empty, I'm like, okay, the rapture actually happened.
Yeah.
I got
this
left
moment.
Behind.
Like... Yeah.
Like, and it's so funny, like, a lot of hardcore, like, people who grew up like us, like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people still have that fear.
Yeah.
Like, I have several friends that have, like, mentioned that to me, like, this is a real thing. So
yeah.
that fear is still in there, you know?
Yeah, I've found that in my healing path, journey, whatever you, I have a really hard time labeling all the stuff that I,
yeah.
how I exist. Like, I can't label myself, what I do, like, I don't know. But in the act of healing, one thing that always, like, it comes back around and back around is just fear-based mindsets, fear-based programming, and whether that's religion, relationships, occupational, in my artwork, whatever, yeah. You know, you make progress, but you're never finished. Yeah. But, you know, it gets better and better, but then sometimes things will pop up and remind you, like, hey, like, just let that go.
Yeah.
Like, that fear, like, that's going to hold you back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And something happened recently that really, really spoke to me about my fear stuff and people-pleasing, that kind of thing. Like, that's a fear-based program, too. And my mom... I might start crying, sorry.
That's okay.
She and I are really close now, and she lives far away. We don't get to see each other that much, but we talk almost every day. We text, we call each other. But for several years, our relationship was not good, and she was afraid that I was falling away from God, like, after my divorce and stuff. She was just concerned. Like, she wasn't a jerk about it, but it made it to where we couldn't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
And the closeness that we have now, like, I'm so protective of it that... when I started to really take ownership of my healing and the work that I do and my spiritual practice as a whole, I kind of kept bits and pieces from her. And I never lied to her about it, but I just wouldn't bring it up because of the Christian upbringing and stuff. And she's still a very strong Christian woman, but she doesn't like the church itself very much either.
Yeah.
But we talk about it, and I just didn't want her to worry about me, I guess. And so I wasn't being, like, truthful to myself or to her about my whole entire path.
Yeah.
And even stuff that seems so incidental, you know, I started using tarot cards in my practice. And that was, like, an exercise for me to overcome fear for myself, too.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's something Mama don't need to know about.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's such a sweet part of my practice. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it, but... just little pieces like that. Like, she knows I do Reiki, and I've done treatments for her, like distance Reiki, and she understands that, and she was supportive. But for some reason, just these little details, I was like, Mama don't need to know that. And, you know, but then a few weeks ago, she decided to get on Facebook again, and she found the podcast.
Okay.
And she texts me. She's like, why didn't you tell me about the podcast? And I was like, well... it's fairly new and I just wasn't sure yet, you know, but go ahead and listen to it. And she's like, oh, I've listened to all of them. And there were three episodes at that point. And I was like, oh no. But then she called me and she's like, honey, I'm so proud of you. It sounds great. I love what you're talking about. You know, I'm just, I don't know. It just, I started crying. I'm like, oh, you know, Mama's not mad at me.
Sure.
And, you know, and it, she's not a bad person. Like, I don't want people to think, like, she's just this angry. But, you know, I was just being protective of... I didn't want that distance to creep back in.
Absolutely.
But she even mentioned the tarot cards specifically. And she's like, well, does it... you know, ask me what I use it for, you know. And I told her. And she was okay with it. And then a few hours later that day, she texts me. And she's like... she's got a lot of health problems and stuff. And she's like, look, I want to... start doing kind of some of the stuff you're doing. Will you help me? I just want to feel better.
Yeah.
And like, it's like spirit opened this door for us to communicate about it and to help her heal even more deeply. And like, if I had maybe opened up a little sooner, maybe that would have opened up sooner, but I don't
divine
know.
It
confirmed to me that like, we have to be ourselves. We have to be who we are. Like, authentically, and that's so fucking scary, you know?
Yeah, especially, you know, it is unfortunate that there is so much judgment when it comes to religion, you know, because, you know, but what I was really wanted to say was how important that mother-child connection is, you know? Look how, like, how fiercely you protected it, even though it was, like, hiding some of your authentic self. Like, you were fiercely protecting that relationship so that we didn't lose it again, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, I think that our relationships with our moms probably have really, I'm trying to think of the right word, I'm sorry, guided how we interact in life, but even also has guided how, like, our path has gone.
Yeah, and our healing path,
Our healing path, for sure.
Yeah. A few months ago, I hopped on Zoom. There's a spiritual center in Huntsville, and I went to one of their services, and it's kind of, I don't know what they call it, but it's like they meet for meditation, mm-hmm. and then they have talks, you know, but it's not like churchy church like we used to go to, but mm-hmm. they had a Zoom meeting where you just meditate together, and they did an ancestral healing session with me. That was like,
wow. Yeah.
But we did the matriarchal line, and we went back, my mom to her mom to her mom, and then like ancient, okay? And it, I don't know, it kind of like unlocked something for me, and I'm starting to see these like ancestral medicine. I know it sounds really woo-woo and weird, but when you start working on yourself and then you start tracing back and digging into the family line, it heals.
Yes.
It heals all the way back. Like, it collapses yes. timelines. It, I mean, we found healing for my great-grandma, my grandma, and my mom's relationship. And she's already passed, yeah. but it, like, it came loose. I don't even know how
yeah.
to explain it.
That's, like, that's a great way to explain it, yeah.
But I feel like that maybe was part of the domino that started toward, like, where my mom and I are now,
yeah.
you know? And then I don't know how to explain it completely, but I don't like the word, like, manifestation, because it's almost like the evangelical name it, claim it these days.
Yeah,
it's kind of
the
veered off, but but just setting intentions for what you want for your yeah. family and for, you know, I've been doing so much work on feeling worthy of being okay financially and having a job that you
sure.
want, and, you know, and we always want better for our kids. But my son recently, he joined the Navy. He enlisted. So he's going to go off after he graduates this
wow.
year. And it was a lot of ups and downs. He started wanting the Air Force and was medically disqualified for some minor, like, curvature of his spine. Like,
sure.
it was a nothing.
Yes.
But then that opened the door to the Navy, and he's got much better job, much better money coming. The benefits are better. The travel is better. And, like, when that was finally solidified, he enlisted, like, it hit me like a lightning bolt. Like, he's not going to struggle financially the way that I did, the way my mom did. Like,
yeah.
his 20s and 30s aren't going to be this mad dash of, like, I've got this shitty car. I've got to get to this shitty job. Oh, my car broke. I can't get to my job. I can't pay to fix the car
yeah.
because I can't get to my job. You know, like, things like that. Or health care. Like, he's going to have health care.
Yeah.
Like, his whole life now, he's set if he wants to be.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think that generational curse is broken now. Like, it, and it's right here, right in front of me. I got to see it in real time. And it's just crazy.
Well,
it's
I don't
crazy.
Think we realize, like, how, like, the generational things affect our lives.
Yeah.
Like, the curse of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think maybe we were around so many other people who were in poverty, like, it seems like that's just life.
Yeah.
Which it is.
It is.
You know, most people are living in poverty,
mm-hmm.
if we're being honest. You know, but I don't think until you start doing that, you don't realize how much it affects your life. You know?
Yeah, in these weird little, like, almost insidious ways.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Like, I feel like, to the evangelical, the prosperity gospel and stuff is so detrimental to that, because you
yeah.
walk around all the time feeling like you're not worthy.
Yeah, because your worth is connected to how much money you make. Because if you, you know, if you're living in poverty, you're obviously not being a good enough Christian.
Yeah.
Or God would bless you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the opposite. Well, like, if God doesn't give it to you, you weren't meant to have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you're meant to live. Just get on with it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's weird how that's so connected to capitalism.
Oh, yeah.
All of it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a... we recently did our ancestry, and, like, our family is not close. Like, my aunts don't talk. There's seven kids, two have passed, but none of them really talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, none of the cousins really grew up. Like, once we were, like, teeny kids, like, we never really even spoke.
Yeah.
So we're very scattered. So, like, I've never been able to count on my family. I've never, like, had relationships with them. So I didn't put a lot of stock into, like, ancestors.
Yeah, me either, yeah. for a long time.
Well, we got my daughter this, like, the 23andMe or whatever it was, and, like, learning about my family. Yeah, I can only learn about like my mom's side because I don't know my dad's side. Mm-hmm. But it has been eye-opening, but also heart-opening. Like, me and my daughter have worked a lot on this, and it's mm-hmm. really, I can feel things lifting, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, I feel a connection with my ancestors, and like, you know, there's certain beliefs that like you reincarnate into your own lineage.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So like, that's why it's so important to have some kind of connection, you mm-hmm. know? And also I feel like as Americans,
yeah.
you know, we don't have that like root. We don't have like, this isn't our land. This isn't like none of that, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like we don't have that like strong, like root connection. And I feel like, that's what a lot of us are lacking. And we're getting back to that. We're learning.
I think so.
We're breaking those things, mm-hmm. you know? Everybody in my family was a single. My grandmother ended up being a single parent. My mom was a young single parent. My sister was a young single parent.
Same here,
I was
my a young whole matriarchal parent. Line.
And I was like, this is it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter is about to be 22. So, like, she's made it past the rest of us as
yeah.
far as how old we were when we had our first kid. So, like, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just doing the work.
Yeah.
I know that's, like, so overplayed, but, like,
no,
just
but
doing
it's
the
true.
Work,
like,
you know?
You just...
We're paving the way for our grandkids to not have to do as much.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Like, I want my son and, like, his kids and their kids to feel loved, like, the second they're born. I don't
yeah.
want them to struggle with feeling like they don't deserve
yeah.
good things or they don't deserve a partner who's good to them
yeah.
or respectful.
Or to just be themselves.
Or to just be who they are
yeah.
without fear.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, I still struggle with that. Like... We were talking a few months ago, like, about labels and, you know, and, like, I still struggle with feeling, like, cool enough, I guess, to, like, exist in certain spaces.
Sure.
And, like, I'm 44 years
yeah.
old. I shouldn't give a shit, but, and it's not a huge deal anymore, but, like, it's still that holdover from,
yeah.
you know, you want to belong, you want to feel safe.
You want to fit into the group.
Yeah.
And- You know?
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like you, I mean, I don't ever feel like I ever really fit into any group.
Same.
I tried a lot of different groups. I never
yeah.
really fit in any of them.
No. Like,
yeah.
I had friends in all the groups. It wasn't
yeah,
ever
absolutely.
Any animosity or like, oh, I hate those people. But it was just like square peg, round hole kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I can be here and we can have fun and
yeah.
this is great, but it's never like this, oh, yeah, I'm home.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's more like, who can I mask the least around?
Yeah.
Who can I be around where I don't have to mask as hardcore?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And I think that feeds into, like, people-pleasing. Like,
yeah.
it makes you feel safe because you're avoiding conflict.
Yeah.
And, you know, man, just so much work to be done in that.
Well, it's in...
in that area.
Well, it's just artists, and especially as hairstylists, like, I was talking about this today, like, we are very egotistical.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mean to be, but we are very egotistical because on a daily basis, we are being told how wonderful we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because our clients love us, because
yeah.
we give them something special, you know? It's not just hair. Like, I mean, I know a lot of places could be that way, but, like, I feel the work you and I are doing, like, when you sit in my chair, you're not, it's not just hair.
Right.
Like, there's a lot more involved into that. And there that thought went. Oh, where was I going with that? I don't remember. So sorry.
It's egotistical.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah, so, like, if somebody doesn't like your work that day or, like, you get a text the next day and you're like, hey, this isn't really, I really don't like this or that, like, it is, like, hurtful.
It's a wound.
It's a wound.
It's a wound.
What do you mean you don't like it? Everybody loves what I do. How dare you?
Yeah.
You know, like, and you don't mean to be that way, but it just happens. Like, it really hurts you,
yeah.
you know? And it's just funny how, like, we don't even realize, like, I in my everyday life, I don't feel like I'm super egotistical, but, like, definitely in that realm, I'm like, I need that. I need that constant validation.
Yeah.
And I feel as growing as an artist, whether it's hair or whatever, like,
you need a little bit.
You need,
yeah.
you, but you need, yeah. you learn that you need less and less of that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I don't need my client to validate, you know, yes, let's validate our relationship, you know,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. But I don't need that validation in my art or
right.
in my spiritual practice
yeah.
as much as I did.
Speaking of your practice, if you're comfortable
mm-hmm.
sharing, like, what are some of the things, like, your daily practice that you feel has been, healing to you, and maybe that you've learned about yourself by, like, what's your day look like? Like, Kimmy wakes up in the morning and this is how she sets her intentions for the day.
Yeah. I really struggle with, structure,
Me too.
Again, very ADHD, like very, you know, I really do struggle. So routine is not always my bag, but I follow on Instagram, and I know you're probably sick of hearing, everybody's probably sick of hearing me talk about House of Hoodoo. But please, if you don't follow House of Hoodoo, please follow them, because the spirituality, the work, the ancestry work, I've learned so much through them. But anyways, they talk about how routine and like in your practice, like repetitiveness, like you're not going to get anywhere if you're not continually doing things, you know. So every morning when I get up, I try not to get on my phone. I go into my living room where my altar is. I light a candle. I burn, whether it's, you know, cedar, basil, whatever it is. Every day I will go out and find a new gift for my ancestors or for whoever is in need, and it goes on my altar. I have like a money jar that anytime I find change on the ground or something green or, you know, whatever magically corresponds to it, it gets fed, you know, just so many different things. But I've seen a huge difference. Which, you know, nobody is going to know who I am, but like I moved here and had to completely restart as far as like a business goes. So like, I'm almost completely full now, you know? So like manifesting, which we hate to call it that because like, it's so like the secret and hokey and all that kind of stuff, but it works.
It does.
You know? And there's of two minds, like, you know, you do a spell, you do whatever you want to call it, and then you move on and you don't think about it again. And then on the other side of that, it's like every day I'm like renewing that, you know? So those are the things I do all the time. I always have something simmering on the stove in the morning. Whatever, like, I'm very much, I hate, like, a lot of people call it kitchen witchery. Like, I am very much, like, I consider myself, like, very eclectic. I cherry pick from Christianity, from a lot of different things. Like, whatever it is, I just don't want it to be a religion. I don't want it to.
Same. And like, I've had to work against the dogma of, like, oh, I didn't do A, B, or C yesterday. Sure. I need to, like, I kind of beat myself up, but now I'm giving myself a little more grace and flexibility, you know, and that kind of helps me stay more consistent.
Yes.
Like, if you ditch that guilt.
And there is no right or wrong.
No.
You know,
no.
And I
like
think
you build your practice. Yes. It's personal.
And by learning, talking to you, reading a book, being online, like, I'm always like, oh, that's really cool.
Like, I'm going to try it. Resonates.
That really resonates. Yeah. I'm going to try that, because there's, you know, there's a lot of things, like, you know, everybody dips their toe into, like, Wiccan, like, being, you know, in Wicca and everything, which is great. But for me, for my own personal, it was too dogmatic. It was too structured. It was
me
too.
Me too. I felt it was, it made me feel a lot of the same way as how I was raised. And not, like, no shade to,
no,
I know
absolutely.
Some lovely Wiccan people.
Absolutely. Just, I know lovely
but
Christian people.
Parts of that practice that I use.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's funny listening to you, like, our days are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, we do a lot of the same stuff. I've got my altar space set up, my incense, you know, the candles.
And I do walk around,
and
whether it's with the stove simmer or whether it's like whatever I'm burning, and I like
cleanse your house.
Yes, my daughter will be asleep. I'll just be like blowing it under the door. Like,
yep, I know, I blow it downstairs, you know? Into the basement for Eli. Like, oh, there you go, buddy.
You know, and here's the thing though, like, but that's a little bit of intention that you just sprinkled on them,
right?
That they don't even know about, you know. But also, like, I try my best to spend at least 30 minutes outside in nature, in the woods, or something, just reconnecting.
Well, the air, the sunshine.
Yes.
A few, maybe 2 months ago, I started sitting on the porch with the sun at my face to do my breath work and like the deep meditation part of my practice. And it's big. It's so sweet. Like, just the sun. I don't know. Like, it just feels, I don't know. I'm just really thankful for that part of my practice now. And I don't get to do it every day. The sun is shifting now, and I've got to kind of find where it is on my porch and stuff. But I feel like, you know, when you're talking about spreading the smoke and cleansing our spaces and stuff, to me, I feel almost like it's prayer, but like in motion, if that makes sense. Instead of just sitting like, thoughts of prayers, you know, it's a like an active prayer. It's kind of like I see my yoga practice as like meditation in motion. You know, it's more, it brings it all together instead of like a piece of this and a piece of that. It like brings the physical and spiritual together. And like, that's the only way I can stay focused. Like, I can't have a meditation practice without my movement practice. Okay. Because my brain won't quiet down if I'm just like, oh yeah, it's meditation time, let's sit.
Yeah,
like, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, I really struggle with meditation, honestly.
I find if I move first, even if it's just like 10 minutes, and get the breath going, that then when I do sit down, I can drop in a lot easier. And it's not perfect,
you know,
you still have to kind of wrangle your thoughts, but that's my routine now, is movement first, and then sit down and breathe and get, you know, spend some time with spirit, with my guides. And on the ancestral work you mentioned earlier, digging into that more, I have a newer spirit family member that I believe is part of my lineage, but he's like this humongous, like tall, red, like fiery red-haired Irish person.
Okay.
And he was a healer.
Okay.
And so, like, part of that healing lineage, like, comes down, and he's, you know, he comes and he helps, you know, when I'm doing Reiki for people and in my meditation, like, he'd show up. He's got a very sweet spirit like my dad had. And I don't know, it's just, that ancestral medicine is so powerful.
Yes, and you know, like, things come in as trends, right?
Yeah.
Like, being witchy is so trendy right now.
Yeah.
And part of me sounds super gatekeepy and is like, ugh, that we have to have, like, dollar store witches. Like, you know, but on the other hand, who the frick cares? Like, if people are, like, ditching that, like, super conforming dogmatic stuff.
Yeah. I'm all for freedom.
I don't care how you do it, you know? I'm just glad that everybody's getting out of there and like, collectively, you know, making this shift, you know? And I think, you know, I really think that there's been a return to the feminine.
Yes, you know, I was just going to say that. I feel like this has been that wash
shift
of...
Through the whole COVID thing, this whole pandemic, I feel like there's been a huge shift to the feminine. Which, you know, obviously we need the balance, you know, but I think that feminine energy is really what we needed. And it's really sparked a lot of, like, really awesome good things that, you know, obviously we need to keep going. But,
I feel like women are finally starting to feel safe, like, being authentic, like we mentioned before. And, starting to kind of come home to our bodies as, like, they're our bodies.
Yes.
Like, not for consumption of other, like, other people's consumption of our bodies. And I feel like women are collectively, like, we're getting a little kinder toward each other.
Yes.
Because we're getting kinder toward ourselves.
Yes.
And that's been so needed.
Yeah. And, like, let's like, shed all that. Let's, like, forget all that stuff. You know what I mean? And let's, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast about a month ago talking on Divine Feminine. There's a scholar. Her name is Anne Baring, and she's been studying the Divine Feminine for, like, over 40 years. Mm-hmm. I've got one of her books, like, in my to-read list. But she was talking about how, you know, ancient Christianity, like, there was God, you know, male and female. Mm-hmm. And then in the Bible, when they talk about tearing down the, like, Asherah idols, quote unquote, it was really the feminine aspect of God, which is actually the Holy Spirit. And, like, it blew my mind,
because
I've been coming around to that truth. Like, I'm getting there, but listening to her speak about it, I was like, holy
crap. So many
light
bulbs just went off in my head, you saying that.
Yeah.
Because you and I have talked about how the one thing about Christianity that stuck with us has been the Holy Spirit.
Yes. I mean, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Right? And the way she explained it was that, you know, her name is actually Shekinah, like, the glory of God. It's that female aspect.
Yeah.
And, like, as women, we are created in God's image, but it's not, like, God the man and then the woman's, like, an afterthought.
No.
Like, there were both. It's a holy family. And, you know, coming to that realization was like...
Yeah.
Like,
well, before Christianity and the destroyed the world, we were equals.
Yeah.
Like, we were the landholders. We were the midwives. We were, like, all these things, you mm-hmm. know? Monogamy is a Christian-pushed thing. Like, humans were not, like, monogamy wasn't even, like...
We weren't property. Okay, we're back. We've been talking the batteries down. Yeah, so we were talking about divine feminine and Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I think that is revolutionary in my head. Like,
it is. It is. I'll send you that podcast episode.
Do.
It's a really
amazing.
Great. This lady she blew my mind.
And then think about, like, what if we didn't have that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, Christianity does horrible things to, like, to ourselves. Like, I completely understand that. But again, those little seeds, you know, if it hadn't been for that, I would have never been introduced to the Holy Spirit, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I can literally tap into that energy at any time that I want.
Yes.
But even that, though, you know, in Christianity, I was always taught, like, only certain people get that gift.
Oh, yeah. It was very, it was gatekeeped.
Yeah. So, like, how many people, like, I'm speaking to people who are either still Christians or former Christians, whatever you want to say, they all say the same thing. Like, they felt less than. They felt like a less than Christian because they didn't get the gift of the Spirit.
Yep.
You know, like, everybody in my family got the gift of the Spirit, you know? So, like, it was such a big deal. But it literally...
It's right. It's always here.
It's always here. You know?
Yeah, so. I found that coming out of that and into the way I practice spiritually now... I've said this before. I'll probably say this every episode because it's so damn important. But I feel like, and not just a feeling, I know that my relationship with God, with Spirit, with Jesus himself even, now is so much more an actual relationship.
Yeah.
Like, they say that, quote unquote, like, you need a relationship with the Lord, blah, 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 like, all through growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't mean it. They want that separate. And it shouldn't be.
Because it keeps the masses controlled.
Yeah,
also.
Exactly. That's what it's about. It's about control.
Yeah.
And, like, if everyone could step into their power for real and, like, not power from a place of revenge or from, like, fighting a war. Like, I hate that illustration too, growing up in the church, like warfare, spiritual warfare, blah, 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 you know, like, but like a place of real love.
Yeah.
Like, people say all the time, God is love, God is love. But, like, really think about that.
Yeah.
Like, really chew on that, like, real love.
But yes, you know? But also on the other hand of that, you're like, it's very confusing. And I think that it really jacks us up in relationships because
mm-hmm.
you're taught, like, if you're good enough, God will love you. If you're good enough, God will, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then wait a minute, that you just told me that this God loved me before I was informed, but I can lie about one thing and be damned to, like, a lake of fire for eternity.
Right.
Like, that doesn't equate.
No.
On one hand, you're saying he loves me, like, beyond any measure, like, beyond anything in the world.
Unless you mess up.
But if I steal a pen, because let's think, a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin.
Yeah.
Sin doesn't carry weight.
Mm-hmm.
If you steal a pen from your office.
Yeah. It's like you're
constantly.
Or
you go and you murder somebody. There's no, like,
yeah.
You know, one doesn't outweigh the other. So you mean to tell me if I steal a pen, I'm literally going to be damned to hell forever if I don't say I'm sorry for that.
Yeah.
What about all the sins that are in there that you might be committing that you're not even consciously aware?
You know what I used to pray every night? Like, I mean, up through my 20s.
And exactly what you probably prayed.
Fearful, like, before I went to bed, like, God, forgive me if I've sinned and didn't know it.
Yes.
For
the sins that I knew.
And
sins
that I knew about and didn't know about. Like, every night, like, what a fucked up, fearful place
yeah.
to lay your head down.
And that's your, the patriarchal.
Yeah.
That's your first, like, especially, like, I don't know about you, I didn't grow up with a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom, you know.
Yeah, my dad lived states away for most
sure.
of my
so
life.
You so get, you know, like, so, like, probably one of our first dealings with a male love mm-hmm. was God.
Yeah, and it's performance-based.
But look at that.
Yeah.
So what happens when we get into, like, relationships where, like, oh, well, like, they're only going to love me if I'm, like, perfect all the time and doing
like
this and doing
pleasing,
that.
People-pleasing, yes. like, hiding yourself.
Yes,
like,
let me just pretend to be the Stepford wife
mm-hmm.
and literally be dying on the inside.
Yeah.
You know? I, you know what? I say it all the time. My husband saved my life
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you know about my husband. My husband was born in Northern Ireland. He's from Northern Ireland, which has a heavily religious influence, but like he doesn't practice. And he was like, you really need to think about these things. Like, mm-hmm. this doesn't feel like it's authentic from you, you know? And he wanted me to live my authentic, like, perfect self life. So he was really there for me through this whole, like, I mean, weeping. What if I'm wrong? Like, what if you're wrong? Like, what if this is going to cause other people to, like, slip away from it and go to hell?
Yeah.
Like, that's on me.
I wrestled with that, too, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I am so thankful that I waited until I was 35 to get married mm-hmm. to, you know, somebody who loved me through and through and gave me the space to be a Christian at first, because he's not a Christian.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, my husband doesn't believe or practice any of the stuff
I do either,
you know? But he's so supportive.
Yeah.
And, you know, will listen to me yammer on about as much as I want, whether he... You know,
sure.
can connect with it or not.
He's into like, you know, like paganism and or whatever. Because mm-hmm. I mean, everything that is in Christianity is actually pretty cool. But I mean, not like, you know, like I do. But my family does the whole manifesting thing. We try to, you know, when the moon cycles and then there's times I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for that full moon this week. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, oh wait, totally missed that one.
You know, same.
And is it not hard to like take those like strict Christian things into
that?
I'm like, oh, well, the universe, the divine, that energy is going to hate me now because I didn't, like, set my...
Yeah, it's like, no, I can still... Like,
you can set your intentions whenever, honestly.
Yeah, like, okay, so I didn't make moon water this cycle, but, you know, in the morning I'll put some Reiki into my water before I drink
it. I'm just a very fluid... That's the best way to explain it. I'm just
the freedom.
My practice is fluid.
The freedom of
whatever
it
I feel
is
like.
So nice.
Yes.
Just, and knowing, like, I lay my head down at night, and instead of, please God, don't kill me in my sleep and send me to hell.
Oh my God.
Like, now I lay my head down and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for today, for my family, for my breath. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Yes. I'm so grateful. And like, the difference between gratitude practice and a fear-based life, like, it's this huge, huge difference. You know, like, my anxiety is way less than it was. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm still an anxious bitch. But, like...
You take... Like, I can't even explain to people the weight they came off of me when I took that... When I decided that I was not going to live under that guilt anymore.
Yeah.
You know? One more story about that, and then we can move on. But I was in the military, and I had a friend who was a couple years older than me. And we, at this time, probably 21, 20, 22, whatever. And she was dying of cancer. There was no, that's just what
no
it was.
No remedy.
There was nothing, right? And she told me how she stopped having sex with her boyfriend, her long-term boyfriend, who she was supposed to be getting married to, but obviously, you know, this disease had changed those plans. And I was like, baby girl, like, you're dying. Like, you need to make, like, whatever makes you happy, like, this is what you should be doing. And she was like, no, like, I'm not going to go to hell because... And I just remember, like, literally, like, and I was still entrenched.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just, like, something in my head just was like,
like, does not compute.
This doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. I was like, honey, but he's not going to, that's not how it works. And I knew, like, in the Bible and how we were taught, yes, that's how we were told it worked. But in my, like, I really didn't believe that's how it worked. I was like, honey, this isn't how it works. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves you. He's not going to send you to hell forever because you decide to have sex with your boyfriend before you die.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that was, again, like I said, literally just those, a bunch of little things along
so
the
many.
Way. It was almost like universe, God, whatever, was like, hey, like, come this way and listen to this.
You know? Like little puzzle pieces, like, as you go. And the more you know, the more questions you ask, and the more you, and, like, I know a lot of people, you know, outside of our circles probably think that we're the weirdest woo-woo ladies, but, you know, learning to listen to yourself and to listen to spirit, you know, I'm not so anxious about making decisions anymore. Like, it used to be, is this God's will for my life? Is this God's will? Is it God's will? Is it God's will? I mean, I drove myself crazy over the smallest of things because I wanted every single thing to line up. Like, it's got to be what God wants. I got to live. And now, like, I know that if, as long as my intentions are love-fueled and I'm not harming myself or someone else, like, a decision, like, there's a long, long way from right and wrong. Like, what you decide just is. It's what you decided, and you'll walk that path. And if you decide something else, then you change direction. And, like, it's not, like, there's no condemnation, you know? But also, on the other hand of the, you know, like, that richness of love and the Holy Spirit, the way I view shadow work has changed a lot. You know, I think some people maybe get caught up in their own shadow and, like, it kind of gnarls their practice a little bit. Like, it can be the same, like, too much of this thing or that thing. But that balance between dark and light and, like, the divine feminine,
like,
also, like,
it
comes back to, like, the feminine, like, the dark night, you know, lunar, the masculine, day, sun, solar.
And that whole light,
like,
love.
Light is not evil, or dark doesn't mean evil.
Exactly.
It just means not light.
Yes.
And so, like, you have to get in touch with that part of your healing, too. And it doesn't mean evil or devil or Satan or any of that. It just means the shadow.
There's a balance.
And that's okay.
Well, and just, like, you know, we were talking about, you know, other religions and stuff like that. But, like, the whole light and love thing, which is great. Listen, like, more people need to be a little more light and love than they are otherwise.
But some people weaponize that.
But to me, it's like toxic positivity.
Yeah.
You can, like, you can't live your life being light and love all the time, because people are going to walk all over you. And people, you know, some people need to be checked.
Yeah.
And not always in a kind way. So I'm definitely not a light and love. Like, I'm not also saying, hey, let's be out here, like, hexing people.
Right.
But if that's your practice, that's your practice. Like, you have to be, you're in charge of your energetic.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Well, and when you're not living in fear, like, the knowledge that there are practitioners out there hexing, I don't care.
I don't, yeah, that's.
I'm not scared
that's your
of
business.
Getting hexed or them hurting somebody. Like, to me, when someone is doing left-hand magic, that's still part of their,
and again, like, there has to be a balance of light and dark and everything.
Like, yeah, they'll learn what they need to learn from that. It's not about the person that they're directing that energy toward. It's about, why are they doing that, and why is that intention there? Like, spirit will, they'll show them what they need to see.
And even, you know, if you look back to Christianity, like, God is vengeful.
Yeah.
Like,
how many times have you heard growing up, sorry, I rebuke that. Don't even come at me with that. Just, I rebuke it. Just,
but let me just tell you the power of words.
Yes, it's true.
I had a dog, big old hound dog, that would always get out, and it was a nightmare because we lived on a busy street. Like, and my grandmother was not a kind person. Okay, and she walked out to that dog and said, "In Jesus' name, if you run away again, you will not come back." The very next day, that dog got out and was hit by a truck.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, it, so, words are,
could it
medicine,
be coincidence?
They're magic.
Yes.
They're, like, the power. But, I mean, the Bible even says the power of life and death are in the tongue.
Yes.
And so, like, when you're speaking curses or whatever, like, there's power in curses, there's power in blessings.
Absolutely.
And
you know, not even light and dark, when I say I'm not a light and love witch, like hexing is just a small example, and that was a very generic thing for me to throw out there. But,
you know,
there are definite people that I feel if we collectively came together, we could stop a lot more things.
Yes.
Energetically.
I agree with that.
You know, and that wouldn't be coming from a place of love. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for a love to protect other people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like our,
like, protective,
our queer community, like our people of color, like our, you know, marginalized people. You know, those people deserve to be fiercely protected.
Yes.
And so, like, there can't always be love in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you are, you know, working in what we work in, you know, the artistic field, the community-minded, energetic work, like, it isn't always, you know, it doesn't always have to be light and love.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be, you
well,
know,
well, and also there's something to be said for telling the truth, you know, even if it isn't a pretty thought, like, even just learning about yourself in ways, you're like, oh, girl, you need to work on that. Like, that wasn't real nice, but okay, I got it. I got the message.
And there's times, I mean, like, I'm sure you, like, there's, like, knee-jerk reactions, and then later you're like, why did I react like that? Like,
yeah, like wait a minute,
like, why did that small thing that someone just did like really send me over? And again, it all comes back to our childhoods and what we've allowed. And
yeah, well, to me, I've gotten to the place now where, like, I still do have emotional reactions. I mean, we're human.
Yeah.
But now, like, even if it's not in that moment, if I can sit down, a lot of times I'll get my journal and just kind of start writing, like, okay, I felt this. It was really strong. Why did I suddenly feel all these negative feelings?
Yeah, whatever. Where is this
and
coming
it's just
from?
Pointing me to what needs healing. Yes. That's all it is. And, like, you know, that old adage, like, hurt people, like, you try to, like, meet people with some grace because you never know
what they've been through. That's been really hard for me.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard because sometimes I'm just like, no, I fucking had enough. I don't care what you've been through. You need to stop being shitty.
And
you know?
This is where I'll be like, well, I've been through tons of stuff, and I don't treat people like that. And I'm like, and that was one thing that somebody had to kindly check me on. I'm like, well, that's good for you.
Yeah. But your brain is not their brain.
Yeah.
Your heart is not their heart.
Exactly.
You know?
And yeah, you've changed and you've grown, but like maybe those people haven't had the opportunity to do that yet or didn't have those little grains of wisdom thrown at them at all times, you know?
Yeah. So. And some people, you know, like their spiritual catalyst comes much later in life or not at all. Like it might be their next life.
We're all on different paths.
Yeah.
And there's everybody's timeline is different.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, and that's, you know, I think the other thing about our community is, like, learning to not judge ourselves against other people because we all are our own journey. And you might be 20 years ahead of me on one thing, but you might be equal on other things, you know?
Yeah. I think it's nice to be open to learning from each other. Yeah. And like you said, it's learning from everything.
Yeah.
Like, I will never stop asking questions. I always want to learn more. I always want to know more and go deeper.
Which is great about our profession, too, because I literally grill my clients all the time, like if it's, you know, if they work in an industry that I'm interested in or they're doing this kind of work, I'm like, so
tell me
20 questions, let's go. You know, and you know, that's how you network and learn. But yeah, I think we're pretty lucky that we're in a field that we're able to do that.
I love my work. I do. And like, even not getting to do it full time, like when I travel down for work, I work 3 days now instead of two.
I only work 3 days. How
3 days
can you, like, if you would have talked to yourself 10 years ago,
yeah, no.
Would you be like, hey, by the way, you're going to be working 3 days a week and you're going to be making almost as much money as you did when you were working a whole lot?
Yep. It's fantastic.
I wouldn't believe that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's
like,
amazing.
I feel honored to do the job that we do, like holding space for people and just hearing. I just like hearing people's stories. Like, that's such a gift. Like, even just the stupidest. I mean, like the kid who was
a
20-year-old who was like, I could fight a wolf. I'd win. Like, all seriousness. Like,
to be 20 again and have that kind of confidence.
You fight that wolf together. You show me the pictures. No, but like, you know, you have clients. You know, I'm working on people that have been coming to me since I was in hair school. So I've known them a decade. Yeah. And, you know, watch their kids grow up, you know, just.
I mean, and this is like, I don't think people always understand the way we work is, like, once you sit in my chair, like, you're in the inner circle.
Yeah, you're
like,
family
I worry about you. I think about you. I pray for you. Mm-hmm. I care how your trip went. I care how your partner is. I care how your kids are. You know, I grieve with you. I celebrate with you. Like, this is not just hair.
No.
You know, and like, I'm always torn between, like, because you know me, I'm like super low maintenance. Like, I rarely wear makeup anymore. I hardly brush my hair. Like, as a hairstylist, like, that's almost against the norm of what we were taught.
It is,
you know?
But I feel like that's part of our healing medicine.
Absolutely.
Too.
This is my professional phase. It's the one that I grew myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think like, I
feel like it gives other women, not like they need permission, but you know what I mean. Like, coming from the way we were raised, and like, you wear your bra when you go out, you shave your armpits, you this, that. Like, that's just what women do.
Yes.
And I feel like letting other women see us feeling okay without the makeup, with our hair a little messier. Like, now I love natural texture.
Yeah.
I want to just be comfortable. It doesn't matter about stylish. Like,
I wear Converse.
I like what I like.
You know, like.
And I feel like it's, you know, we help each other to be at home in our bodies that
especially
way.
Especially at our age.
Yeah.
I think that we don't even realize the work we're doing for women our own age.
Yeah.
Or even for younger people to be like, okay, so you can get older and still, like, authentically be yourself. You don't have to start dressing a certain way,
right,
acting a certain way, having your hair a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that was really ingrained in me. Like, I remember being, like, 24 and somebody telling me I need to start dressing my age.
Yeah, that's
so, like,
crazy.
I just started wearing, like, business casual clothes. If you came to my house now, like, there's nothing business casual. I own nothing that's business casual.
No, me either.
Everything is just, like, off the wall or, like, you know, jeans and t-shirts. Like, yeah. I wish you guys could have saw my face that I just gave.
It's fitness.
What? Stop it. But yeah, I think that there's definitely something really great about growing older in this industry. You know, I know we struggle between, we look at ourselves every day in the mirror in this industry. So, like, it is a struggle to look in the mirror and not want to get Botox when mm-hmm. we're seeing, like, people younger than me getting Botox, or like stars who are way older than me, you know,
yeah,
getting all these things.
Or like staying a certain weight for your whole life.
It's really hard.
It's like our bodies can change. Like we can grow, we can change
this
shape.
Industry is really tough for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To look a certain way, act a certain way, you know? But I think there's like this little league of extraordinary like salons out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are like us little rogue salons that are community minded.
Oh, yeah. And in Huntsville, my home salon, that's, you know, every new client that comes in, you know, I had a few new people last time, and this one lady sat down and she was in her 50s or 60s, I guess. And she's like, wow, I feel so comfortable in here. And I said, well, how'd you hear about us? And she goes, on Facebook, that group, the Liberal Ladies. I was like, oh, we love the Liberal Ladies.
Yes, that's so great.
So she came in and we had so much fun. And she's like, yeah, just it's nice to come in and feel safe. And I don't know. I just feel like, as with everything, like evolving and with the wave of divine feminine rising and all of us that, you know, the majority of hairdressers are women, like not to discount the male hairdressers.
Not
they're
at all.
Great.
Absolutely.
But the work that we do, like we are healers in this generation.
Yes.
Like we help people
yep.
to heal, like yep. and even with like my Reiki and energy work, like people ask like, well, what do you do? And sometimes I'll be like, I'm a Reiki healer, and sometimes I'm like, I'm an intuitive energy healer, I'm a healing practitioner, like I don't know how to say it, because I don't like go into a session and like heal a person, but I see things that I need to see, and I bring that information back, and then I give it to you as the client so that I can help guide you to your own
sure.
healing practice. Like,
yeah.
It's not, I'm going to go in there, and we're going to do a session, I'm going to solve all your problems. But I feel like as a healing professional and as hairdressers, we help, like, support people.
Yeah.
In their own healing, not so much like we just fix everything that's wrong,
yeah.
but you know, if you sit someone down and she's learning how to be comfortable with her silver hair coming in and like getting older is okay,
yeah.
then she might walk out and have that measure of confidence, and then she'll speak up
the
when someone
person.
Mistreats her,
oh,
or
yeah.
she'll tell another woman how beautiful
yeah.
she is with her silver hair, and it like ripples out. Like, I feel like it's important. I feel like it's important work.
Well, and, you know, I think you and I have talked about this before, about how, like, every hairdresser is an energy worker.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in it, whether you don't, you're touching people. Like, they're telling you their deepest, darkest secrets. Like, everything.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know about you, but how many times has someone said, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I haven't told anybody this in 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, hey, it's just the curse of the chair. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Spill it out, you know? But, I think it would be really important for more hairstylists to learn Reiki, to learn a little bit of energy work, mm-hmm. so that even just to protect themselves.
Yeah, I'm writing a curriculum right now. Like, I
yeah.
want to teach
yeah.
stylists, massage therapists, like anyone who, I mean, even office workers. Damn, you're in a cubicle 2 feet from someone else. Like, if people can learn to shield up when they need to, and
yeah.
to like be more empathetic to someone else when their energy is off, or you know, just any of that, it's all beneficial.
Yeah.
Like, we need it, we need that.
Or just cleansing your tools,
yes.
after each person.
Yep, I use the tobacco oil you gave
me. Do you love it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really has. I think setting aside those just few minutes mm-hmm. to like intentionally cleanse my tools in between clients, like, mm-hmm. has been.
Well, then you don't have yeah. that carryover.
You know, I never thought about it
else.
Before. You know, I mean, those literally are like your tools, like mm-hmm. yeah. So
I think it's great. Well, I think I've kept you long enough.
It was so much fun, though.
It was. I loved it. I would love to do this again.
Yes,
sometimes. Absolutely. This is amazing. But I will put all of your information in the show notes so people can find your salon, your artwork, your handmade things. Like, it's people need to know you. Like, you're a treasure among people, and they need to know you. So, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.